Several years ago, I read an article in a magazine called The Discipleship Journal. When I do things like that, sometimes I'll take some notes and go back later and look at it and see if there's something there I wanted to say. And there is, in this particular one, the author of the article, and I forgot to write his name down, so I can't tell you that, but you probably wouldn't know his name anyway. He said, he posed this question in the article. Is taking a Sabbath possible in our needed yesterday society? And if it was needed yesterday society a couple of years ago, you can only imagine what it is today. It's needed in before we even, you know, need it tomorrow, before it's ever here. So this situation is, can we possibly take a Sabbath in our needed yesterday society? The author went on to show in the article how you can, and I love some of his words, how you can integrate a Sabbath, not the Sabbath, but integrate a Sabbath into your life. So right away you know he's not talking about the Sabbath that we observe. And as I said, now he's not talking about the Sabbath that we are here today. In fact, he went on to say later in an article, to be flexible, do not feel hemmed in by any particular day. Now, I don't know if you've ever run into someone who felt that way, but I've known several over the years who have left the Church of God that said, you know, we observe the Sabbath. It may be Wednesday or maybe Thursday or Sunday or whatever day they have chosen to observe it, as opposed to the Sabbath that God ordained, any old day, as long as you observe it as a Sabbath day, works. I don't agree with that premise, but that's what some think for some reason or other. But this did get me to thinking a little bit about how it is so easy for each of us, even though we observe the Sabbath day, to neglect the gift of the Sabbath day. And at the same time, you know, we're not even, in some cases, realize that we're doing it. The Sabbath is probably one of the biggest for some, and one of the most difficult decisions that they make as they begin to learn about this way. I don't know how many of you can remember that far back, but I can remember when I first was made aware of the Sabbath. And it was a very difficult thing for me in the society I was living in at the time, the family I was, you know, living with, to observe the Sabbath. Because I grew up as a Baptist. And my good friend over in Atlanta, Steve Sanders, and I were together at the same time trying to do this. We could not figure out what we could do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do on the Sabbath day. So it was very much a learning curve of what to do on the Sabbath day, because our families were totally against it. But we would try to isolate ourselves somewhere and, you know, try to read the Bible and go to services if we could and different things like this. And we slowly, you know, began to learn more and more what we could do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, observing the Sabbath day. And I'm afraid sometimes for all of us, we, even as we get to be a little somewhat of a, might say, a seasoned veteran in the sense of the church, we sometimes even still, if not expressing it so, we see the Sabbath as a tedious day full of rules of things we can't do, things, you know, we shouldn't do, things we can't do, and all like this, as opposed to understanding this is a special gift from God. The Sabbath is, it is, as I titled this message, the gift of freedom. The Sabbath day is the gift of freedom. Now, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, that any person who professes to be a Christian would knowingly or intentionally reject a gift from God. But yet, many have done just that within the Sabbath day observance. You're all familiar with the scripture over in Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger that was in your gates. Now that covers just about everybody that you have control over in one sense of the word, although sometimes with your sons and daughters you may not have that control or be able to express that control. Goes on to say, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and then rested the Sabbath day. God rested the Sabbath day. Did he need to rest? I don't think so, necessarily, but what was he doing? Setting an example. Because he sanctified and set aside the Sabbath day and blessed it and hallowed it. Now, I talked to a gentleman this past week who I have talked to off and on for many, many years, and he was questioning something about the Sabbath day. One of his parents had died and had left some property to he and all of his brothers and sisters. And it was a rental property. And on the Sabbath day, they were wanting to, none of them being involved with the church, were wanting to do repair work and go over and fix it up and do things like this. And he wouldn't. And so they were getting on to him. And he said, you know, what can I do? I said, well, you can't control them. They're not under your control. It's not your problem if they do that on the Sabbath. You can control only yourself and what you have control over. But he was concerned that maybe he was breaking the Sabbath because if his co-owners were doing work on the rental property. And he was even concerned that possibly the person who was living in it, when they would work on the Sabbath, that was breaking the Sabbath. So I tried to explain to him that it's only something that you have control over yourself. And it says here, your sons, your daughters, you don't get out and work your horses and your cows and things like that. Now, any of you work your horses or cows today? I don't think anybody here has that, so I'm not worried about that either. But this is a command. We know that. It's the fourth commandment. As we go through the scriptures, and it is a command. But by its very nature, as we mentioned, as we read through it, the Sabbath is fundamentally and intrinsically different in that it was hallowed, it was dedicated, in effect, it was set apart by God. It is a day for us to, in effect, imitate our Creator. And by doing that, as He did, as He rested on the Sabbath day, to cease from our labor, just as God did. But I think, as all of you know, it is really much, much more than just that. We have the example of Israel in Egypt, 400 years down there, and they went into captivity while they were down there. They really had no choice at that particular time about not observing the Sabbath day because they were put into manual labor by the Egyptians and were forced to work, 7 days a week. Not 24 hours a day, but pretty close, as much as there was. It's probably one of those old things from can to can, from sunrise to sunset kind of a deal. But if we're not careful, we can become, as Egypt was, in effect enslaved to our work when we begin to lose sight of the gift of the Sabbath day. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, another scripture very, very familiar to all of you, it says in there that the Sabbath was made for man. And not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is an extremely critical part of God's plan for how we should live. And it was amazing to me that in the article, even the author, as he was going through, made it very clear. And I'm going to quote again from the article. He said that both the Old Testament and the New Testament make it very clear, quoting his words exactly, that the Sabbath is not some offshoot from antiquity that is irrelevant to contemporary believers, but rather it is for us today. Then, of course, he went on through the article to show you how you can sort of get around the Sabbath in that sense of the word. But I was surprised, as I said, in the gist of the article that he would make that comment. But it is. It's just as relevant for us today as it was for ancient Israel when they first learned of this day. The Sabbath was not designed to, in any stretch of the imagination, to limit us. It was not something that God wanted to say, because of this, you can't do this. He's going to restrict us. He's going to constrain us. But it is just like every other law that God created and gave to us. It's for our good. Now, some of you are aware of the fact that I've started back to work back in October, working basically, quote-unquote, 8 to 5. After you've been retired for 7 years, that's a little bit of a jolt to the system. I'm not still completely adjusted to that. But I'll tell you one thing it has done. It has helped me again to really appreciate the Sabbath. Because when you're not working every day, it doesn't, to me, at least in my perspective, it hasn't had exactly the same importance and impetus with me. Now, the Sabbath day is the only day I have, basically, to rest, relax, to take it easy, to relax a little bit, and sort of take a deep breath. I remember when I first came to college in 1966, I was still in the process of learning about the Sabbath. And the college, of course, made the Sabbath the focal point of the week. When sundown came on Friday night, everything shut down. And nothing kicked back on again until Saturday at sunset. If you were one of the ones working on the landscape crew, especially during the summertime, you were really appreciative of that because you're not out in that hot sun all day long. But as soon as the sun set down on Saturday, And as you know, in these big sandy area, when it's sand, you got to get back there and start irrigating, you know, right away. And a lot of them did. They'd be out there as soon as the sun was set on Saturday and work all Saturday night. So the Sabbath was especially meaningful. You think of the food laws that we have. Why are they there? They meant to keep us from getting sick. And evidently we have not necessarily people who have broke the Sabbath or broke the food laws. They're not here today. But, you know, God gives us all those things to keep us well. There are things to, because we need, the body is made in such a way that it needs the Sabbath day. It needs that rest. If we keep driving ourselves, we drive ourselves to a point to where we get to exhaustion and everything else. And we just can't, the body is not designed to do that. The Sabbath is here to free us. As I said, it is the gift of freedom. It frees us from all the compulsions that we have. It frees us from the work that we would do. It frees us from deadlines, from meetings, from appointments, or anything else that would fetter our time and or our mind to encompass us in getting away from it. The Sabbath says, leave that all behind, and this is God's holy day, the day that He sanctified, the day that He set aside for each of us to rest. It is, and I'm going to continue to preach this message, a gift or the gift of freedom. But you know, all of us have, hopefully in this room, and those that are you online today, hopefully most of you as well have made that decision. You've made that commitment to keep the Sabbath. Now, that's, in one sense, the hardest part, to make that commitment, that you're going to do it no matter what comes along, no matter what happens, you're going to do it, no matter what kind of persecution you may get. We know people who have lost jobs as a result of keeping the Sabbath. But I can tell you many, many tales also of people who lost their jobs and then got an even better one. And I'm sure there's probably some other sides to that coin as well, but, you know, it is a commitment that you and I, each of us as Christians, have to make in our life. That we are going to, regardless as to what happens, be obedient to God. Just as the song said, no matter, God will take care of you. And that's a promise that He's made as well. It may not happen immediately. It may not happen exactly in the way that we want it to. But God will take care of us. The second thing after we've made the commitment is to ask God for the help in understanding His will in trying to be obedient to the Sabbath day. And it takes a while, I think, before any of us come to the understanding and realization and the acceptance of the fact that this is a day of freedom, not a day of constraints, not a day of rules and laws that were things we can't do. If Ambassador College didn't do anything else to me, and it did do a lot of things for me, it taught me how to keep the Sabbath. Because, as I said, everybody around you was doing that. In the society, the cocoon, in effect, that we lived in, it was easy to do it in that sense of the word. Because everybody was doing it. When you're out in society, as most of you are today, nobody except you is doing it. Most of the people that you know that keep the Sabbath, except for maybe your family, you don't see them during the week. We come together today, we see each other, but during the week, we generally speaking, maybe we talk on the telephone or something, but we don't have that fellowship with one another. To make that commitment, to ask God to help us in understanding it, and then thirdly, to protect your Sabbath. Now, what do I mean by that? To protect your Sabbath. Get rid of everything that would infringe upon your Sabbath day. And I think each of us are different in the things that we are experiencing in our life, the things that we go through, how we work, what we do. But to protect the Sabbath day, because God hallowed it, God set it aside, He sanctified it, He created it for us. And are we going to revel in it and really enjoy it as He has designed us to do? All of us, I think, know that the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. But it's also a reminder that we are created in God's image. It helps to keep our focus on God and off work. Because I don't know about you, but the kind of work I do and have been doing all of my life, basically, sometimes I leave on Friday afternoon with problems that I have not yet solved that day. And if you're not careful, you're thinking about them. Sometimes, years ago, when I still was in public practice in accounting, I would have a particular difficult tax return and lay down on Friday night to go to bed, and I would still be working it in my mind. It's still running through, how do I solve this particular problem? It's taking it home with you. So we've got to sort of make that decision to leave those things, drop them off, and let the Sabbath be a day of rest for our mind as well as our body and a day to worship God. It's a commitment in our life to follow God. It is a way of life that we have committed to. And it's a way that is, again, as I said before, is designed by God for our good. What is our ultimate goal? What is our ultimate goal in life? What is it that you will do to obtain that prize? Over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, a very familiar scripture, I'm sure, to all of you. The Apostle Paul, in talking to the church at Philippi, said, beginning in verse 13 of Philippians 3, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." That's what we have to do. Forget the things that are behind, to leave the world that we used to live in, and reach forth unto those things which are before us. What is before us? Eternal life. What is the prize? The same thing. But he says, "With this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," and we're striving for perfection, "be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." We are seeking the same thing that the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Philippi about. That prize that was worth sacrificing for. The prize that was worth looking into God's Word, seeing what He has. You know, not just the Ten Commandments, all the way that God gives us throughout His Bible. How are we supposed to live our life? The Sabbath is only a part of that, but it's a very, very important part because of what it means to us in our life. And I don't know about you, but once I began to know about the Sabbath, begin to observe it, it made life so much easier. I mean, everything just sort of began to fall into place even more so. The Apostle Paul continues to speak, as I said in this particular scripture, about obtaining the prize. But yet the Sabbath can be such a joy and such a help in our walk. In Psalms 92, and it has been called in one of the subscriptions under Psalms 92, it says a psalm for the Sabbath. It begins with this in verse 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Do we ever think about it from that standpoint? To give praises unto God, to give thanks unto Him, to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. Yes, it's a good schedule to be on, that we think about that. First thing we do in the morning when we get up, and the last thing we do before we go to bed, is to think on God, to think about the things that He's given to us. Maybe even say a short prayer if you've already prayed during the day. And again, this helps us to keep our focus on God, because it's so easy, at least it is for me, maybe it's not for you, to lose focus during the week. You run into all kinds of situations, troubles, difficulties in daily life. Now, in my particular case where I'm working right now, it's not as easy because I'm dealing with people that are calling about, you know, questions having to do with the Bible, and we're going through those kinds of experiences. But years ago when I was in public practice in accounting, all day long it was, you know, bookkeeping, tax, other problems that people had that you're working on, and you can lose your focus. Now, as I said, maybe I'm all alone in that particular situation. It's your job, you're constantly thinking about God on your job all day long. You're different if that's the case. You're unusual. Down in Psalms chapter 119, and beginning in verse 10, a couple more scriptures talking about our focus on God, how we should be. It says, "With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." What is keeping the Sabbath? The fourth commandment. And then Psalms chapter 34 and verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears." God will take us away from all those things. This, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, affords us such an opportunity. We can be, on this day, fully focused on God, and in effect today, here at Services, present with Him. It is a time during the week that we can experience the joy and the freedom of rest, relaxation, rejuvenation, recharging, renewing, and recommitting. All those things start off with R-E, in the sense that it's a beginning, a new beginning, a change in what we do. That we have that opportunity. Maybe during the week we've, you know, maybe been a little bit lax on time of prayer with God and our Bible study and our meditation, whatever it may be. This is a time where we can, in effect, catch up. It's a time of communion to interchange or to share thoughts with our family, with our friend, with those that we fellowship with here every Sabbath day, to sit down with a meal as we do here afterwards and commune with one another, but at the same time spending a lot of time with God. I don't know about you, but I talked to somebody again this week and get these ideas and thoughts from other people that we were talking about something, and they said, well, they barely had time every night just before they go to bed, a husband and wife, to spend 3 or 4 minutes talking to one another because their schedules were so busy and going in such opposite directions. They sort of see each other in the mornings when they leave to go to work, and they don't see each other again when they get home, and all these things to get ready, you know, for school for the kids the next day and everything else, and then just before they get in bed, they say hello to each other. Now, I don't know if your life is like that or come close to that and everything. We've got quite a few people in here, or some that, in a way, that are retired, so maybe it's not so difficult, and maybe your kids also, most of them are grown or gone. But at the same time, I'm speaking as well to those of you out there on the webcast and anyone else who might hear this later. It is a time when we have time to spend with one another at services here with our family and take that, again, that special gift of freedom that God has given to us. We can catch up with old relationships, things that we could do. It's a time maybe to call someone you haven't talked to in a long, long time, a family member or a close friend that you don't get to see, but maybe at the feast or something like that. It's a day that we can spend, as I said earlier, a little more time with our Bible study, with our prayer, on meditation. And for those of us that are privileged to have the opportunity to be able to fellowship and meet together with those of like mind, to come before God on the Sabbath day and enjoy the Sabbath day and spend that time together. It's a special time. It is for me anyway. Remember the scripture over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15 that we are not to forsake the fellowshipping of those that we fellowship with, and especially as the time draws near. What time is he talking about? The return of Jesus Christ. And, you know, is it nearer? Well, it's nearer today than it was yesterday. That's the only prophecy I have to give to you today. And I think all of you already knew that. But at the same time, as we begin to, some of us are approaching the latter years of our lives. That's another day that's approaching. It gives us more time to spend with God, with family, with friends. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's an analogy drawn between the keeping of the weekly Sabbath and entering into that, what is called final rest or the resurrection. In verse 11, it says, let us, you and I, labor or diligently work, therefore to enter into that rest. Now, that's not contradicting the Sabbath in the sense that it says to work, but it means just to do it diligently. Are we taking care of that and looking into that to examine, you know, our lives on the Sabbath day? How can we live them differently? How can we live them more attuned to what God has called us to be doing? God encourages us everywhere in His Scriptures to take advantage of the freedom of the Sabbath, so that we can then enjoy the rest that is yet to come. Again, Paul talked about it as that great prize. Other places he talked about it running a race, and you running the race and getting the prize there. Do you take advantage? This is a question only you can answer. Do you take advantage of this gift that God has given to us, this gift of freedom that we have concerning the Sabbath day? Over in Luke chapter 5, and verse 16, talking of Christ, and said, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You know, Christ understood that there were times in his life even that he needed to withdraw. We know that just right before they came to get him, right before his death, when they were in the garden, he would go out to pray, and he, of course, admonished his disciples that they were falling asleep as opposed to doing something else. He would come back from praying, and they would still be, you know, asleep again. But he understood the need to withdraw at times and pray. And that's something that I think all of us have a need to. Some of you are aware of the situation at Ambassador College. When we were there, we had what were called prayer closets. each dorm had, I think, four of them, one for each wing of the dorms that we stayed in, those that were in the dorms. Now, that was not a place to withdraw, because inside of that prayer closet, even though it was a closet and was closed and there was a fan in there that made noise, there was always somebody running up and down the hallways, making noise, making racket, you know, carrying on and everything. But, you know, you think about David. David was a shepherd. If you read a lot of the Psalms that David wrote, he talks about, you know, observing the stars. How often have you gone out on a star-filled night? And it's a little bit chilly out there right now at nighttime, so bundle up if you do. But David talked about how wonderful of God's creation, because he was able to go out. Now, you know, they didn't have any cities that were so big that all the lights would blank out the sight of the stars. You and I live in a city, most of us, that, you know, we go outside. You still got the city lights that are encroaching upon your view and everything. But I can remember times in Colorado when we were up there hunting or fishing or backpacking, whatever we were doing. You can get off a little bit away from the camp and you see a completely different view when you look up at the stars and the moon. And just you begin to appreciate even more the creation that God has given to us. And there is no place, just me, there's no place I have ever felt any closer to God and sitting on top of a rock out in the middle of the Colorado Rockies. I'm 8,000 feet closer to him in one sense of the word. But he's all around us, supposedly, as we live our life. But there was just something about that, because of the ability to get away in quietness, no interruptions, no phone ringing, you know, nobody calling, nothing like that, no TV to watch, nothing to interrupt, but simply meditate there with God. That is something that I think if you don't do on a regular basis, and I don't mean every day, but on a regular basis, try encapsulating that into your life to get away from everything and just spend time with God, meditating, talk to Him. Not necessarily prayer, but anytime you talk to God, it's prayer in that sense of the word. Tell Him what's going on in your life. He knows it already. Talk to Him about it and listen to Him. Take time to listen. Over in the Psalms, in chapter 23, one we're all very familiar with, it begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Does that just picture to you, it does to me, a very quiet, very still, very, you know, nice situation to do that, to get away and to let Him be our shepherd, to guide us into these kinds of things. Wintertime, one thing you might could do if you have one, we do, we're going to do it tonight, I think, build a fire in the fireplace. I know in the years in the past we've gone camping sometimes, there's nothing more sort of semi-relaxing in that sense of the word, to just have a big fire and just sit there and stare into it. Now, if you've ever never done that before, I don't mean go out and start a fire somewhere, just do it. But that's, to me, that's extremely relaxing. Just to sit by a nice warm fire. Sometimes you have to turn around and get the backside in too, because if you've got your front side to the front, the backside gets cold. But to stare into the fire. And there's something to me, again, that's me, that's fascinating, that's mesmerizing almost about staring into a fire. And you can think about all kinds of things. Take a long walk. Now, not some of these power walks that some of these ladies do where they've got weights in their hands and they're striding down the road. But just, you know, take a, in nature, if you can get away someplace, take a walk and observe what you see around you. Creation that God has given to us. Take a nap. All of us can do that one. If you have them, play with your children or your grandchildren. Sleep in a little bit. I used to sleep later, but now, you know, I'm up at 6 o'clock every day. I tried to this morning, but I was awake at 6. I stayed in bed a little bit longer, but I've got to get my body retrained again. Change your pace and rest, because it is a date that we need to be restored physically as well as spiritually. If you're continually on the Sabbath day worrying about what you've got to do tomorrow or what's coming up next week in the work week, then you're really not resting. You're really not taking advantage of the Sabbath. But most importantly, the Sabbath gives us, as this gift of freedom, to contemplate God, to contemplate His Word, His blessings, His grace, and His immeasurable love for each of us. It is a time of contemplation of so much that God has done for us in our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful and don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure," and it goes on to say, "whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And I can't think of a better way to tell us how to pray on the Sabbath day, to be thinking upon all these good things. Forget all the problems. Forget all the difficulties that we have. "And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you." That's reassuring, that the God of peace will be with you. I think some people don't enjoy thinking. They don't like to think for whatever reason. But he says in the scripture here, think on these things. And basically that means just meditate on them. Concentrate on them. And as we make them then a part of us, it makes, because we incorporate that into our lives, it makes the rest of the week more bearable. Because you're enriched on the Sabbath day and you've got that new energy, you're recharged physically and you're recharged spiritually and mentally. Make them a part of us. Make us to where we look forward not only to the Sabbath we're in, but we look forward to the Sabbath to come and all the ones in front of us. God knew that all of our life, our minds, our bodies, but especially our spiritual life, needs rest and renewal. It says, He created the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. The example given us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, where it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made. He rested on the Sabbath day from all His work, which He had made, and He blessed the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all the work which God created and made." He gave us the example that after He had finished His work on the 6 days, He rested. Then Christ, He set us the example throughout His human life of keeping the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we have the freedom through the gift that we have been given to set aside everything that has consumed us all the past week and rejoice in the presence of God. Can we, like Job, when he was told by his friend, and I put that friend in quotes, Elihu, in Job chapter 37 verse 4, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." On the nights of the week when the garbage is going to come the next morning, I take our garbage out to the street, and it's night and it's cold and it's, you know, clear in the sky, excuse me. But you can see the stars where we live. I've got a pretty good vision of the moon, the stars and everything. And sometimes I just look up and just, you know, meditate, just think about it, you know, how beautiful His creation is, how wonderful it is that this entire creation was made for you and I. Everything out there, the way it works, everything that goes about it, the laws that God's given to us, it was made for you and I so that we live a better life. And there's nothing even more important than that of the Sabbath day. So how much do you appreciate this fantastic gift that we have been given of the Sabbath day? Do we take the time to stop on the Sabbath and listen to God? The Sabbath gives us the freedom to stop doing and to begin being as God intended us to be. But I'm afraid sometimes and too often, too many of us are like the old hamster that's running on a wheel inside of his cage. We need to get off the wheel, get out of the cage, and enjoy the Sabbath day, the gift that we have been given, and the freedom it brings. So I encourage all of us to, every Sabbath, enjoy the gift of freedom.